Welcome to the Ed Shep Radio Experiment. This week's theme is Happy Birthday, Happy Birthday.
Party, party, say it's your birthday. Party, party, we're gonna have a good time. Party, party, you say it's your birthday. Party, party, X, we're gonna have a good time. Party, party, you say it's your birthday. I knew I had a problem when Arnold Schwarzenegger started doing it.
Arnold, there's an elephant in the room. Now that's terrific news.
Let's talk about birthday parties. Birthday parties can be powerful things. They stir up intense energy and are important events, so they shouldn't be looked upon lightly, and you shouldn't have a birthday party if you don't understand how to harness its awesome power. For example, a lot of people think that a birthday party should be held on someone's birthday. A tragic miscalculation. The obvious example being a birthday falling right around Christmas. Would you have a birthday party on December 22nd? If you did, then you'd be a fool. Even people in Arizona know not to do that. You should move it up to March or April, when nothing's going on. Make it on Easter so that you give your friends an excuse to not go to church with their families on that day. Your presence will be much better. Another common misconception is that birthday parties should be held once a year. Who made up this rule? You can have a birthday party as many times a year as you want. It's said that such historical luminaries as Cicero, John F. Kennedy Jr., and Delta Burke threw their own birthday parties several times a year. Of course, remember not to overindulge in birthday cakes several times a year. Look what that did to Delta Burke. Throwing multiple birthday parties is great in many ways. You get to throw one in each season if you like. You can throw one for each group of friends you have. You can have a boring birthday in January for friends at the office, and a festive one on May Day for your fun friends. Yet another erroneous notion about birthday parties is that you should throw the party for the age you're turning. Sure, we all know about someone who's thrown his 22nd birthday for 7 years, but how about this thought? Why not throw your 100th birthday while you're still young and can enjoy the big celebration? After all, turning 100 is a big event. You might as well celebrate it when you can still drink and drink and drink and drink and drink without having to worry about breaking a hip or misplacing your walker among all the other walkers. Besides, wouldn't you rather celebrate your 100th with friends instead of relatives who you don't even recognize and who don't care about you, and literally have stopwatches ticking off until you die? And that's to say nothing of the fact that you probably won't even see 60, much less 100. Especially if you keep eating all that McDonald's and those cakes from Drake. Who knows what's in those? So I say, have the 100th in your 30s, when you'll actually have a few years to look back on it. Lastly, let's not forget the power of birthday parties to bring attention to you and you alone. Why waste this power on a day when you don't know if anything's going to be happening? Best to wait until, say, your friend gets a book deal or your acquaintance debuts a one-man show that no one wants to go see. Have your birthday party then, so that everyone's talking about you instead of the book deal, and so your friends won't have to go to the agonizing one-man show. Again, a recipe for great gifts. One more thing about birthday parties. Going to one can be an agonizing experience when the birthday boy or girl has invited zillions of people in the hopes of getting loads and loads of gifts. Turn the tables on this kind of party by showing up wearing a crown or some kind of hat that says birthday boy or the like. I've done this before, so I can guarantee that a good number of people will assume that you're the one having the birthday, or at least you also have a birthday on that day. People who finger the charade will secretly be proud of you because everyone resents the person who is getting all the gifts and attention. Watch for a knowing wink. Incidentally, this strategy isn't a bad one for getting a date. You could go to the party of someone you know, or just go around crashing birthday parties. Some people do that for a living. There's bound to be someone to come up and offer you a special adult treat for your birthday, especially if the party is full of lushes. And you can go home with that person without feeling any guilt, because after all, it's your birthday. Remember the power of birthday parties. Use it wisely, and it will come back to you in spades.
Upstairs with her 500-pound butt. Lord, my ceiling ain't never been the same since me that got cracked it all up in. Nobody have even saw that woman, but every time she take a bath, I get nervous. Well, all right then, have a happy day and tell your mama how she do.
Hi, this is Fred Flintstone. Save a piece of cactus cake for me.
So, how are you decorating your apartment for your birthday? Oh, you think someone else is going to do it for you as a surprise. Okay, I wasn't going to say anything. I probably shouldn't, but I guess you should know, so you can plan it all. No one's going to decorate your house. There's not going to be any surprise party. No cake either. To be honest, I tried to set one up for you. I even put down that non-refundable deposit on a mechanical bull, but... on 10th Street. I can't remember the name, but yeah, they do have mechanical bulls. Ugh, yours was going to be glittered pink. It was so cool. I wish you could have seen it. I mentioned having a party to some people, and everyone was actually really cold. Most people made up some lame excuse. Somebody actually told me that they couldn't come because they had to go to the DMV at 8 o'clock at night. No, they're not open. Yeah, and those were the nice ones. Some people actually said some kind of mean things about you. I really couldn't believe what I was hearing. Your friends are kind of two-faced. Maybe you should think about making... What did they say? Oh, I probably shouldn't repeat it. Honestly, I can't repeat it. It hurts me too much that people would say those things. I know, thanks. I really am a good friend to you. Well, mostly just the usual stuff, you know. You complain a lot, you don't have a sense of humor, you smell bad, you... I know. No, you don't smell bad. No, I mean, sure, you could stand to wear a little perfume now and then, and maybe wash your socks more often, but I mean, who couldn't, right? We could all smell better. Oh, you. Well, I am a scent freak. You know I love fragrances. I'm a nut. In fact, I probably wear too much cologne. I probably smell too good. Check this out. I have 3 bottles of jasmine in my bag. 3 bottles. Say, would you like one? It's really good for dabbing behind your ear. See, right here. Oh, okay. No problem. Well, if you ever do want it, just let me know. I'm sure I'll have it. You know, it's really only Jason who's been talking bad about you at all. I mean, he starts saying all these things about you, and none are true. And everybody just kind of falls in line behind him and just believes it. like a bunch of sheep. It's crazy. And I've told him more than once to stop, that he knows what he's saying isn't true, and that if he has a problem with you, he should tell you to your face instead of spreading rumors. But then he just denies it. And then, when he knows that I've called him out, he just runs away like a little baby pig. Do they run? They more like waddle, don't they? Maybe scurry. Well, anyway, he waddles back to his mud pool like the filthy, squealing baby pig he is. That's what he acts like. I'm sure it's just because he's jealous of you. I mean, you can see it when he looks at you. Yeah, you can. Just look at his eyes the next time you come around. He's seething with envy for you and doesn't know how to handle it, so he badmouths you. I'm not even sure. Lots of things. Your looks, your intelligence. Oh yeah, like last week when you wore that new jacket. Remember how he told you how nice it was? Oh, I can't believe you didn't see it. He was practically drooling. He loves Suede. He said so himself, but he can't take care of it, so he hates anyone who can. You know, after you left, he told me that he was going to take a big permanent marker and draw a big line across the back, like this. Yeah. I told him that if he did that, I was never going to speak to him again. And that did it. He backed down. I did tell you. I told Marcia to go warn you because my phone wasn't working and I couldn't call you. Oh my God, she didn't tell you? She didn't tell you? I can't believe she'd do that kind of thing. What is with these people we know? You know, Tara, I'm starting to think that the only person you can trust is me. I hate to say it, and I pray it isn't true, but I mean, look at the facts. You have Jason there at the center of it, brainwashing everyone, and then you have Marcia not telling you about the marker and Stacy slashing your tires. Oh, you didn't know. I shouldn't have said anything. I didn't want to upset you. I'm sorry. I thought you knew. I thought everybody knew by now. She told me flat out that she was going to tell you, and I... No, don't cry, don't cry. Listen, what they're doing is really wrong, and we have to make them see that. We have to get back at them. Because when someone hurts one of my friends, they hurt me, and I can't let this go on anymore. Don't mention this to anyone, but the only reason I'm even hanging out with them is to let you know if they hatch any more evil schemes about you, so we can turn the tables and show them how it feels. I know, it sucks. But we're gonna get back at them, you'll see. Just leave it to me. I'll wait for them to plan something really big, and then we'll make sure it blows up right in their faces. Then we'll expose what's been going on the whole time, and we can find you some real friends. So you just pretend like we never had this conversation, and you know nothing about everything they did and are planning. And don't mention what we talked about to anyone. That could ruin our plans completely, and I won't be able to help you anymore. I mean, you want me to help you, right? Okay, Sore, understood. And listen, if you're ever hanging out with them and feel like you can't hold it in and are going to explode and say something, you just call me and I'll be right there. And if I can't be right there, I'll be on the phone to give you support. And if for some reason I can't talk when you call, I can listen. Or you can just leave me a message. Listen, I want you to know you can rely on me. I want you to depend on me. I'll be your strength through this, okay? Okay? You're welcome. Hey, that's what a best friend is for, right? I wouldn't do this for you if I wasn't your best friend. You know I love you. Okay, now dry those tears and let's go get some ice cream. Of course you can. You're practically a skeleton. I don't care what anyone says. Besides, tomorrow's your birthday, and with all that you're going through, you deserve it. Anyway, if it really bothers you, you can always just throw it up later like I showed you. Yay! Best friends.
Later, in another part of town.
Jason, you are crazy. You are just insane. Yeah, I know what you mean. Tara? Oh, I was kind of hoping you'd forget about her birthday. No, it's not that. I'd love to throw her a surprise party. I think it'd be awesome. But, see, the thing is, okay, I'm just going to come out and tell you directly. I swore not to say anything, but you're my closest friend, so I'm going to tell you. Tara doesn't like you. I don't think you'd say that if you heard what she says about you when you're not around. But I've probably said to her... Oh, you know, stupid stuff, dumb stuff. She's just bitter that you make more money than she does. She's always alluding to it. Haven't you noticed? Like, you know how we went to Starbucks the other day and you got that Frappuccino and she was all like, ooh, look at you with the Frappuccino, Mr. Big Bucks. She was trying to play it off like a joke, but she was serious. See, she has this idea that she should be making more money than you because, well, she says you're not very smart and that you're kind of low class, whatever that means, and... Yeah, I know. Like, she grew up in some big mansion in Charlotte or something. She's one to talk about low class. Yeah, you're way smarter than she is. You got, what, a 1050 on the SATs? Oh, well, that's good, too. I mean, it's better than average. I mean, it doesn't mean you're stupid. Besides, those standardized tests don't mean anything anyway. Sure, you could be a better speller, and your grammar could use a little work, but hey, that's everybody. That's everybody. That's about it. I mean, yeah, stupid stuff. Not particularly original, if you ask me. Well, there is one thing. See, I wouldn't tell you this if I wasn't, you know, your best friend, so you have to pretend like you don't know about it, especially if it happens. She said that the next time we do a Starbucks run and she's carrying up a Frappuccino to you, she was going to put a bunch of X-lax in it. Yeah. She even asked me if I'd do it, but I told her no, and I said that if she did that, I was never going to speak to her again, and that ended it, I think. Yeah, well, believe it. Yeah, she doesn't like you, and she's trying to get everyone else to hate you, too. I still can't tell. I mean, I don't think they believe her. I mean, the things she says are so transparent and stupid. But then I don't know. They're not as smart and quick as you are, Jason, so I suppose it's possible they believe her. And I've noticed that people are a little chilly around you lately. You know, not inviting you places, pretending you have to work. I know, you work a lot. I know that. But I also know that I've hung out with Tara and some people when I knew you were off. And I said, hey, let's call Jason. And Tara would just chime in, he's working today. And I'd tell her you weren't, that you were off, and she'd practically scream at me that you were. And everyone would just follow her lead like a bunch of lemmings or hipsters or something. It's really weird. To be totally honest, I feel like Tara's turning everyone against you, and I'm the only one sticking up for you and speaking truth. And I don't know what to do. I hate to say it, I really do, but if I were you, I'd work on getting a new set of friends. I mean, these people, they clearly don't have your best interests at heart, to say the least, and I'd bet they're planning something against you. And in fact, that's the only reason I still hang out with any of them, so I can warn you of what they're planning. And then I can alert you and we can thwart it and get revenge. Seriously, I think they're planning something. I mean, the whole X-lax and the Frappuccino thing? That didn't just come out of nowhere. I'm sure she thought about that one for a long time. I mean, look at who you're dealing with. She's not exactly the brightest bulb. So it probably takes her a while to come up with schemes like that. So imagine, with all the time she's been putting into thinking about it, what scheme she's brewing up now. Especially now that she's turned everyone against you. She probably already has a plan and has left me out of it because I'm always the one sticking up for you. I don't know, but remember when your computer broke and it looked like someone poured water all over it? I never said anything, but to be honest, I always had a suspicion that it could have been Tara. It just seems like her style, you know, all petty and uncreative. I bet it was her. I'm like 90% sure. I know, it's a lot to take in. I'm sorry to be the one to have to tell you, really. Especially right before her birthday and after you got her that great set of martini glasses. They're really beautiful, you know. It's a shame. Are you going to keep them? Oh, right. Ugh. Well, I guess you have to return them then. I mean, you're not going to give them to Tara after all that's been going on. God, maybe I never should have said anything. Maybe she's not even planning anything. Well, remember, I told you that I thought the glasses were a bit much, that maybe you shouldn't spend that much. I was kind of trying to give you a little hint there, or at least spare you from making some mistake. Yeah, she doesn't have any parties, now that I think about it, so why would she be hinting around that she wanted martini glasses? That's weird. It's not like you and me, we co-host parties all the time, but Tara, I mean, I don't know. I guess she wants to be some mad party hostess now or something. I don't know why she thinks bad-mouthing you and planning big schemes is going to help that, but whatever. Cuckoo! Cuckoo! I'm going bananas! Anyway, yeah, you should just return the glasses. I mean, IKEA, it's kind of a trek, but really, what else are you going to do with them? To me? I don't know. Are you sure? I feel kind of weird about accepting them. I mean, they were Tara's birthday present. Yeah, well, you have a point there. Still, I don't know. You know, you're right. Okay, I'll take them. I'm getting something for you, though. I would just feel too bad about taking them outright. I'll get you something. Wow, thank you? Okay, but listen. I'm still going to hang around Tara, and I think you should too. But we should definitely keep Mum about how we know about all her plans. And we should make up some reason why I have the martini glasses. It doesn't matter what we say, she'll still be seething with jealousy. Believe me, I know her. And I'll continue to watch for whatever ridiculous plan she's coming up with. And then when she tries to start it, we'll let her know just who, as Aretha Franklin would have said, is zooming who. It's good to have real friends, isn't it?
Mr. President, Marilyn Monroe.
Happy birthday to you.
Benefits of birthday cake. A lot of people are unfamiliar with the health benefits that birthday cake, apart from all other cakes, possesses. Scientists have discovered quite a few, and more are constantly being uncovered. For example, did you know that birthday cake, especially when eaten before 6 p.m., stimulates growth factors in the brain, making you literally smarter? So as long as you have birthday cake, you're not just getting older, you're getting wiser. More isn't necessarily better, however. Peak benefit occurs at approximately 5 pieces. After that point, returns dwindle. Beyond 12 pieces of cake, the nerve growth factor stimulation ends and anxiety can set in. Much of the anxiety is fear of getting fat, because you're a pig. Also, were you aware that birthday cake nourishes healthful intestinal flora? It's true. Researchers proved this by seeding a giant 30-foot synthetic colon with intestinal flora and then throwing in birthday cakes. The flora grew to unprecedented degrees, coating the colon with an impressive fuzz. Regular cake failed to achieve the same effect, as did holiday cake and historic cake. Birthday cake has also shown immense promise as a substance to slow corpse decomposition. In a noted experiment, scientists filled a field with dead pigs and divided it into two sections. One section contained a birthday cake, the other didn't. The pigs in the birthday cake section rotted at a significantly slower rate than the other pigs. The mechanism by which birthday cake exerts this effect is unknown. Potential applications include development of new embalming chemicals and novel injectable wrinkle fillers for humans and pets. Birthday cake shows tremendous potential as a hair conditioner. It produces enhanced luster and body in clinical tests. Amazingly, not as a topical treatment. You must actually consume birthday cake for the benefit, as it is mediated through the lips. Luckily, birthday cake, and preferably a section containing cake and frosting, only has to touch the lips to be effective. Beauty companies are investigating its action to develop birthday cake-based lip balms for 21st century hair conditioning. An unusual benefit of birthday cake is its ability to dramatically increase focus and even cause euphoria, but only when the subject who has consumed it is welding. This was discovered when scientists examined the Nanulati, a tribe of Eskimos in North Carolina with a long tradition of welding. Almost every member of the tribe welds professionally, and birthday cake is consumed liberally for its benefits. The tribe, in fact, breeds excessively, so that every day of the year will offer opportunities to eat birthday cake. Luckily, tolerance to the effect of birthday cake never develops. However, this can be a downside. Since the euphoria encourages welding, it's only useful when there's something to weld. Consequently, the Nanulati community in North Carolina sports multiple bridges to nowhere. And that's just the beginning. So many benefits of birthday cake are being discovered every day that some health experts are calling for it to be designated as a vitamin.
It's my birthday. No one here today makes me feel too small.
Birthdays through the ages. Birthdays have been celebrated since the beginning of time. The traditions change, but the event always remains one of great joy. Notable birthdays have even changed the course of history. One birthday of note was that of Caesar Augustus Polemnus in 64 BCE. It is referred to by some historians as the date of the first birthday party. Before then, birthdays were celebrated quietly, often by crying into one's porridge. But on this day, the emperor threw a huge ball to celebrate the event, inviting people from all over Rome. At the party, Caesar's wife and a slave boy with whom he was having a tryst showed up in the same dress. A red glittery number that was backless, backless, backless. A huge uproar followed when the empress slapped the boy, and it ignited a slave revolt that lasted for 3 months. At the end of the uprising, the slave boy was declared queen of the empire. His first decree was to throw a birthday party every day for every year before he became an emperor. Throughout his reign, the Roman Empire was a happy and peaceful place. Another historic birthday was Queen Elizabeth's 29th birthday in 1633. Elizabeth was known throughout the kingdom for hating birthdays, and it was an unspoken custom that she would never be thrown a party. But earlier that year, a man named Exeter Livingston became royalty by marrying the Duchess of Pork. He conceived elaborate plans to throw Elizabeth a surprise party, in spite of being warned against it by all the nobles. He filled the castle with the entire court while Elizabeth was away on her afternoon walk. When she returned, the whole party shouted, "Surprise!" and the queen dropped dead on the spot. Since the party was already set up, the courtiers went ahead and celebrated anyway, and at the night's end, set Elizabeth on fire and crowned her 3-year-old son William king. William embraced birthday parties and commanded that several be thrown for him every year. In America, one of the first notable birthdays was George Washington's 6th birthday in 1766. Washington had been a child prodigy on the harpsichord since he was 3 months old, and had begun composing breathtaking symphonies when he was 4. He toured America and Europe and grew famous for his playing. On his 6th birthday, however, for hotly debated reasons, he went out into the yard and chopped down a cherry tree. The cherry tree was mediocre, but loved by his mother. It is theorized that Washington did this after hallucinating from eating a moldy peach. Upon discovering his action, Washington's mother scalded his hands with boiling water, thus putting an end to his career as a harpsichordist. After a deep depression, Washington absorbed himself in statescraft and grew to be the nation's first president at the age of just 19. Had he remained a harpsichordist, historians agree that he would have become a drunk and an opium addict and probably would end up doing porn. In the 20th century, the 15th birthday of robber baron heir Pequotory Vanderbilt is commonly discussed as an important birthday. His family threw him an enormous party, where the then-in-style ice cream cake was served. A servant noted at the party how Vanderbilt vociferously complained about having to use a fork for the cake and a spoon for the ice cream, and wished there were an implement he could use for both. The servant later returned to his quarters and spent the next 5 years developing the spork, which after he brought to market, exploded in popularity. It wasn't long before the servant was rich himself and was able to move out of the Vanderbilt's mansion. His newfound riches allowed him to circulate in high society, and in a few months he and Pequotory Vanderbilt quietly married, living together secretly as companions until they both died from eating a bad lamb years later. A more recent historic birthday was Dolly Parton's 32nd. She had stressed the fact that she did not want a party, but her friends knew better. When the day came, they threw her an enormous party and unveiled to her the present they had spent the last 7 years building, a temple of learning they called Dollywood.
Dollywood, 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 Dollywood.
Originally meant to be a cross between an Ivy League university and a theme park like Walt Disney World, a place where top-notch learning could be made entertaining and fun, eventually the theme park aspect of it achieved dominance, and today it is world-renowned as a uniquely American place of joy and celebration. It attracts 760 million visitors yearly and has been copied endlessly, all thanks to one very special birthday. Now, I have a very special guest joining me to talk for a moment, someone you may or may not remember from several years past. Please welcome Happy Birthday Barbie. Welcome, Barbie.
Thanks, Ed. It's nice to be back again, talking to the people. Hi, everybody.
Tell the listeners a little something about yourself, Happy Birthday Barbie. Should I just call you Barbie or Happy Birthday?
Happy is fine. Actually, my friends call me Annie. Well, they used to. Now they call me Matchstick, but that's something. I had a problem with fires, but that's all settled. Happy is good.
Okay, so Happy, tell us about yourself.
Well, Ed, I was created in 1981 in the off-season, meaning not the Christmas season. Oh, I guess today we call it the holiday season. Well, back in my day, we called it the Christmas season. Anyway, I was introduced around April, and we shot a few commercials, and there was a really nice print ad campaign that featured me. I was lucky because I was introduced alone. I didn't have to share the ads with a different Barbie, which I really appreciated. One, of course, because I got all the attention and would hopefully sell better. But two, because I'd known Barbies that had been introduced as a pair and, well, it almost never turns out well. I mean, sure, everyone points to the example of Malibu Beach Barbie and Summer Cruisin' Barbie, but trust me, they're the exception and not the rule. As a matter of fact, I believe they're married now and living out in Escondido. I think they adopted an Asian girl. Well, I wasn't invited to the wedding, so... Right? Anyway, yeah. Usually Barbies introduced as a pair don't fare very well. Or one does well and the other fails, and usually sinks into alcohol or meth addiction. Meth is a terrible problem in the Barbie community, and it's a hard thing to fight because it helps you stay thin. And with these unrealistic proportions we're expected to have, the slightest bit of extra weight shows, so people develop a problem with it.
But back to your introduction.
But back to my introduction, right. Sorry. I get sidetracked. I guess that's one reason to argue against prolonged alcoholism, right? Anyway, I came out in April, and there was a big ad campaign to launch me. I have to say that I had a great setup then. I came with birthday hats, a cake, and some decorations for the Barbie house. It was really festive. It was really put together. I mean, whoever put that together, their friends are really lucky because they really know how to make a birthday happen, Barbie style. So, at first, sales were pretty good. They weren't spectacular, but they were nothing to sneeze at. We all really thought they would pick up quickly. I mean, hey, everyone has a birthday, right? Shouldn't everyone have a happy birthday Barbie, okay? We even tried these commercials targeted to teenage boys, but they never worked. And in fact, I remember they wanted to film one where a boy was running a Tonka truck over me, but I refused to film it. I didn't think it would fit in with what Barbie stands for. And if we're getting over by Tonka trucks, well then, what did Barbie fight for all these years, right? So basically, sales never picked up. It sold okay for a while, but then they just decided to pull me from the market. I have to say, I was really peeved about that. I mean, where was my Ken? Even goth chick Barbie got a Ken, so where was mine? And where was the product development? Couldn't they try different costumes or, I don't know, make the birthday accessories a little more daring? Like, say, offer chocolate cake? I tried to give my input, but the truth is... You want to know the truth, Ed? Do you? I will tell you the truth. And the truth is, I was dismissed. Ignored. Like last week's garbage. As soon as they took Happy Birthday Barbie off the shelves, it was like I'd never been born. It was humiliating, Ed. And I didn't know what to do. My manager deserted me. My Barbie friends all shunned me, although I can't really blame them in the end because being a Barbie is a hard life. And you can't take any chances with it. If you step out of line once, you could be deshelved like I was. And that's a fate I wouldn't wish on anyone.
So what did you do next?
I drifted. lift off what I'd made from the introduction? Oh, sure, for a while there I tried to get in with other toy companies and other ventures, but I'll tell you, there's not much work out there for a Barbie, especially one of the discarded ones. And yes, of course, those porn guys approached me, they always do, but I told them, no way. I may not be on store shelves, but I'm not going to degrade myself like that. And besides, it's not like there's a whole lot I can do anyway. I'm a Barbie, for God's sake. So, well, I moved out to Malibu into a cheap apartment outside Burbank and tried what I could, but when nothing worked, I just turned to the only friend I still had. Alcohol. I would just go to the liquor store every day and get a new bottle of sangria and down it and try to forget the old days. Which wasn't easy because you see Barbie everywhere and sometimes I'd even be recognized, which I hated. It turns out I wasn't the best drunk either, because I got into some trouble a couple times when I assaulted someone who thought I was a different Barbie or just had to put their 2 cents in. I may look frail, but I can be a demon if you provoke me. So that went on for years, like 12 years I managed it. Then one day, an old Ken bumped into me and showed me a different way of doing things. He told me that it was all my mind programming and that I could change things with just a few vitamins and some therapy. And I was like... But he kept coming around at the same park at 7 p.m. when I was working and getting at me to come to the temple. So finally I did. And well, a few years later, look at me now.
You're talking about the Church of Scientology.
And I really don't want to get into a discussion about the church or my beliefs or any of that. I know how you media types represent it, so I just don't even want to get into it, okay? Can you give me that respect, Ed?
So tell me what's going on in your life now, Barbie. I mean, happy?
Well, Ed, I'm really happy to say that I've been sober for several years now, and I've left that entire life behind me. I don't even think about Barbies anymore.
But wait, Happy, you still go by the name Happy Birthday Barbie.
But you know, that's who I am. I can't change that, but I can change how I respond to it. And I've decided to respond positively from now on and make empowering choices. That's why I'm venturing into acting in.
What are some of the films you've been in, Happy?
Oh, Ed, they run the gamut. Lots of indie. I really like indie films because I don't want to be constrained by the marketers and the mass audience demands. I'm really going for the artistic value. I feel like I have a lot to contribute in that area. But hey, if a major motion picture deal comes along, I'm not going to say no or anything. But until that time, I'm very, very happy doing indie and student films. For example, I'm just wrapping up this riveting, I dare say, film about a florist who...
Well, it sounds like you've turned your whole life around and achieved major success, Happy Birthday, Barbie. Congratulations.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you very much. And I hope my story shows all those other young Barbies out there that you can come back from anything. If you have enough faith, you can overcome any obstacle. And I know people say it all the time, but it's really worth repeating again. If you can think it, you can do it.
Thank you, Happy Birthday, Barbie.
Thanks, Ed.
This is Space Control calling Zoom. All systems are go for your message to Corey.
Hey, Corey. It's your birthday. Sing it, Corey.
Birthday decorating. Decorating for your birthday can be tricky. You're supposed to let other people do it as a surprise. But no one ever gets it right. They always put up something tacky and garish, something that you would never put up yourself. Or they put up next to nothing at all. Maybe a handwritten sign on pieces of notebook paper taped together. Or even worse, the same thing, printed from a Word document, usually in Comic Sans. A font that, if it were a person, would be someone akin to Billy Crystal or Eddie Murphy. Absolutely unbearable. Absolutely unbearable. And what are the chances that your friends are going to put up the decorations a few weeks early, so that you can make it a huge extended celebration? None. None. And I can tell you that from experience. The only solution is to decorate for your own birthday and to do it all yourself. But how do you really decorate for a birthday? If you weren't born on December 25th, there's not much you can do. All that usually goes up are balloons, things that spell out happy birthday, and sometimes streamers. If you're lucky, someone might break out the pin the tail on the donkey. But then if you're really sharp, you already have a donkey hanging on your wall, and probably with a famous face or faces attached to the donkey. So that can't really count as decorating. Let's explore some decorating options now. A good place to start is the time of year you were born. Let's say you were born in the winter. Well, then why not put large gray mounds around your apartment to simulate dirty snow? Or you could get a crib and fill it with snotty Kleenexes and flu medicine. Even better, you could put a space heater next to the crib. At some point during your party, the Kleenexes and the crib should catch fire, and you can put it out with your extinguisher, the contents of which look like snow anyway. So when you spray everyone at your party. It will be unforgettable. It will be unforgettable. It will be unforgettable. Unforgettable. Let's say you were born in spring. What's more spring than blooming flowers? Fill your apartment with fake flowers of all variety. It doesn't matter if they don't grow in your area because your guests are probably stupid, and won't know any better anyway. Stupid. Then fill the house with the smells of a zillion flowers. This should reliably trigger everyone's allergies, even if they don't have any. Stupid. That will put everyone in a spring mood. Then, toward the end of the party, stupid, break a pinata in the shape of a baby. Stupid, make sure it's stuffed with powerful antihistamines and decongestants that people can grab for when it bursts. Stupid, they'll jump for joy. Or trample each other. Either way, it will not be soon forgotten. Summer-themed birthday parties are probably the most fun, since summer brings out so many odors. Reflect that with your decorations. Hang up sweaty socks that you wore four times and didn't wash. Nylon socks are the best. And don't take out the garbage for a few weeks. Nylon socks are the best. Make sure something is rotting in there. It won't take long for it to smell, since you should make your apartment hot. And break out the humidifier. With a combination of odors, humid air, and the heat, it will feel just like a subway station in August. August. Don't forget to barbecue. Grill everything. Meats, fruits, important papers, hair. It doesn't much matter. Let the mesquite smoke fill your apartment. If you can somehow bring a bunch of mosquitoes inside, the effect will be complete.
Autumn
birthdays can be fun too. Autumn birthdays can be fun too. Fill a stroller with pumpkins carved with your own face. You could even string a hose out of one of the pumpkins and disguise it to resemble an umbilical cord. At opportune times during your party, it could shoot out apple glaze. And it's always fun to incorporate a leaf blower into every celebration. Every time someone makes a lame joke about growing older, turn the leaf blower on them. If it blows off their shirt, then you get to keep it, because you're the birthday boy or girl. But the season of your birthday needn't be your only guide on how to decorate. Mine your hobbies and dreams and revenge fantasies for ideas. A novel approach to birthday decorating would be to take the focus off yourself completely, by making the entire party an explicit, mean attack on one of your friends. You could hang up unflattering pictures of the friend and hurtful messages. You could pummel the friend with soft fruits at random intervals, or even burn them in effigy. When they finally break down and cry, then it's time for cake. Of course, there are other non-traditional approaches. Make your party your own primal scream therapy party, where only you are aware of the theme. At random moments, simply break out into crazy screaming. All eyes will be on you. Then simply stop. Then start again later. Everyone will think you're crazy, which they probably do anyway. And maybe people will even start throwing pills your way. Save these pills to bake into others' birthday cakes so that they might do embarrassing things under the influence of the medication. Once you open your mind to the possibilities, they're endless up until where they end. The main thing to remember with birthday decorating is to have fun. Or be mean. Or get revenge. It's all up to you. Happy decorating! And I can't do a show about birthdays without including this little nugget. When I was home for Christmas, I was rifling through a bunch of my old things, and I found this poem that I wrote in eighth grade. The assignment was to write a poem about birthdays. I guess we had to write only a few lines because it's very short. It sort of shows some early hints of my artistic sensibility. Anyway, it was called A Sarcastic Approach to Birthdays. Here goes. A birthday is like a number that never stops growing. Just when you think enough time has passed to forget the last one, another is right around the corner. Your friends hunt you down to tell you you're 1 year older and remind you how many candles are on your cake this year. They ask you when your party is so they can give you gifts and have fun while you are slowly aging. And what's even worse, you have to go through this humiliating tradition of getting gifts, eating cake, and partying once every year. The shame of it all!
This has been the Ed Shep Radio Experiment. Thank you for listening and tune in next week. This is Ed Shep signing off.
You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and WFMU.org.